Well, good morning. Good to see all of you here. We're glad that you've come to the house of God to worship. If you're visiting for the first time at Lock Haven Baptist Church, we're so thankful that you're here with us. We're glad to see you in the church service with us this morning. We know you could have went anywhere else this morning and worshiped it, but you've chose to be here with us, and we're grateful for that. We have a special visitor with us this morning, the Tirado family. Missionaries to the Dominican Republic, serving since 2009. Thank you for being with us. We're glad. Pray for them. They're going through some visa situations and be going into the embassy down in Miami, trying to get things worked out and in proper order for them to be able to stay and to serve and to plant churches in Dominican Republic. So thank you for being with us. For you returning visitors, we're glad that you're here with us as well. Thank you for having confidence in us, for coming back and worshiping this morning. And all of our church folks, thank you for being here as well. We are going to stay busy this week and looking forward to our anniversary service next week. Brother LeBeau will be with us in the morning service and the evening service. And he is a blind evangelist. And he is a singer. He will sing for us, and he is a preacher as well. He will be preaching and helping us next week celebrate our 65th anniversary service. And after the church service will be a meal to follow, a buffet-style meal over in the fellowship hall. We'd love for all of you to stay and be part of that and enjoy yourself during that time. It's not often that you find a church at this age, 65 years, in the same spot, same place, still serving God. And I tell you, church, stay busy. Take the fall tracts and get them out to people. Tell people to take the flyer about the anniversary service. Got another week going. Get the word out. I'm telling you, getting the word out is very, very important that we do that. Now, we're going to be in the Gospel of John this morning. The Gospel of John. And this is probably one of the most familiar texts in the book of John. It is not John 3:16. Can someone tell me another very familiar verse of Scripture in the book of John? Jesus wept is one. Yes, sir. Aren't you thankful we got a Savior who is compassionate and He moves with passion when we are sorrowing and we're hurting? So yeah, that's a good one. Another one. 3:17. That's another good one. Yes, it is. John chapter number 14 this morning is where we're going to be. John chapter 14. And this is a text that is a text that's good for tough times. And I don't know about you, but this year, for me personally, has been a wonderful, wonderful year. I have seen the Lord bless in many ways that I cannot imagine. Now, of course, we're past our seventh year here at Lock Haven. You know, and most of the time around this time, the honeymoon part wears off as the pastor has been here a little bit, and you know, things begin to go. But this year, I'll just be honest with you, I've seen more spiritual growth this year than I have the previous 6 years in our church. And I'm so thankful for that. We've seen growth. Remember, we came here, there was 13 people here, and now look what the Lord's blessed us with. He keeps adding. It's part of labor. You labor at it, work at it, God will bring the increase. You just water and plant. God will bring the increase. But in my lifetime, there has been some tough times in our life. In my wife and our life, our family's life, in our church's life. Here at Lock Haven, 65 years, there's been some trouble, some troublesome times that have passed through the water. And I'm sure in your life, you could think back and think, how in the world did I ever go through that? How did I make it through that problem? You know, there's some things that you never even thought that you would go through, but you have. Well, this verse this morning, this here text this morning, we look at it. It is a text that it will dry up some tears. This is a text that will give some strength in those sorrowful and horrifying and terrible times. Those times when you stand trembling, not knowing what to even do next. John 14 and verse number 1, if you would. John 14, verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there ye may be also. Verse 4. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why is this verse so helpful in difficult times? Why is this text that we just read so helpful during those times of darkness in our life? Whether it's relationship problems, whether it's financial problems, whether it's physical health, even death. This is a very good verse. So this is three things that I came up with that why this text here is very helpful. Number one, according to verse number one, it's very comforting. Look what it says, let not your heart be troubled. Well, those are some comforting words. Those are some words reach out and touch us where we are. If the Lord is saying to us, let not your heart be troubled, there must have been in this moment, there must have been a time of trouble in their life. I'm telling you, this world is full of trouble. Look over in John 16 and verse number 33. John 16 and verse number 33. The Bible says there in John 16, 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now the world is very full of trouble. I mean, there's sicknesses on every hand. There's pain that comes from those sicknesses. There's heartache with every turn. You know, every time I think about young people getting into relationships and trying to look forward to the next step in their life, I often stand in fear thinking about as they share their heart with that person, is it really the one for them? Because when the relationship breaks, I'm telling you, dear friend, it's heartache, it's pain. You take a little piece of your heart here and you tear it a little piece there, and before you know it, you're done with relationships. Well, that's not God's plan for everybody. There's some that God chooses that they be single and stay single. And if God has led you in that way, that is wonderful. Stay with what God has done for you. But I'm here to tell you that for the majority, there is that pathway where God desires that one day there be a marital relationship that takes place. And when that time comes, throughout life, boy, I tell you, we can really have broken hearts through relationship problems. Let not your heart be troubled. Well, that's comforting there. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Death is a sorrowful time. I think over the past 7 years of our time here at Lock Haven, of the funerals that we've had to conduct and do and things. And during that time, boy, the heartache and the thinking about even memories are bringing those heartaches. And God says to us right here, let not your heart be troubled. During those difficult hours like that, I'm going to tell you, these are the verses, these are the scriptures that we need to have readily handy so that we can find comfort. And I'll tell you, the Lord wants those who are going through trouble to have comfort. That's His desire. You know, He says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 1, He said to the prophet, write this, comfort my people Israel. Israel was His people, chosen by God, and He told the prophet Isaiah, write, comfort my people Israel. In verse 2, He says, with thy words. God desires for you to have comfort. God doesn't desire for you to go through these difficult times, these heartache and breaking times, These times where it seems you cannot take the next step, God desires that you have consolation. Go with me, if you would, over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Look what the Bible says here in verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Verse number 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of what? All comfort. Verse 4. Who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. God desires for us to have comfort. God desires in those dark hours when you're hurting and you've dried up your tear ducts with that last tear, that it seems as you can cry no more. In those moments, in those times, God desires that you have comfort. I think about the time in Mark chapter number 5 when the disciples had gotten in a ship, and there was other little small ships with them, the Bible says, and they went out into the sea, and in the sea, the midst, there came a storm, and in the midst of that storm, they cried out to the Lord who was asleep in the bottom of the boat, and they said to the Lord, Lord, do you not care that we perish? And the Bible says that Jesus said this, peace be still. And the winds and the sea calmed themselves. The very next verse says this. The disciples said, what manner of man is this that even the seas and the wind obey him? I'm telling you, church, that in the midst of your dark hour, the Lord wants to speak in your troublesome time, peace, be still. He wants to help you. He does not desire for you to be broken down to your no good to your fellow Christian. What did we just read there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1? That we are to comfort others with the comfort wherewith we have been what? Comforted. God desires for you to have comfort. He says, let not your heart be troubled. I mean, I'll tell you, there's comfort in this verse. There's comfort found there. And it's the help along the way whenever I think about it. That God desires for my heart not to be troubled. How many of you over the last year don't have the same testimony that I have that says, hey, this has been a really good year for my life. We've had problems, we had difficulties, but there have not been great difficulties. This year has been really good. Some of you could say, Pastor, we had some very difficult days, some very heartbreaking days, some days where at the time it seemed as though as our family would not even seem to stay together, or I would keep my job. There were some times this past year, Pastor, that I didn't even know if I'd even have a house next month. And I didn't know if I was going to have food to eat in the future. Let not your heart be troubled. That's what I find in this verse. Secondly, what I find is that there is a call of faith here. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in who? God. Isn't it amazing that this day and age which we live in, everybody's okay with talking about God? They're not even in trouble. They're not even bothered by the thought of God. Because to them, God can mean anything. God can mean a tree. God can mean a person. God can be a total. God can be a person. There's people who teach that we're a little God. But he didn't stop there. You believe in God, what did he say? Believe also in me. That's what he said. Some of you are stuck in your trouble because you haven't come to the point that you've believed in Christ Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You said if a God of love is like that, a God of love is going to allow me to go through these things, I don't want to be part of that. God didn't let you go through that. That is sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. So there's belief in it. I'm going to tell you something. That belief, dear friend, that is a life-changing event. When you believe in Christ, you are exercising faith. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means the least of us to the greatest of us. That means the pauper and the very wealthiest. That means the pastor of every church and the Sunday school kid of every church. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. Listen, it was Christ that died on the cross of Calvary for you and I. You know the Bible says in Acts chapter 16, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what? Thou shalt be saved. Not by works of righteousness which I have done, but according to His mercy. I was a sinner on my way to a devil's hell, and God Himself revealed Himself to me in His love and showed me the love of God through Christ Jesus, who died on the cross of Calvary for my sins. What I find belief in this verse. I find a person to believe in. Everybody wants to believe in this God. I'm going to tell you, the God of the Bible, dear friend, is the very Christ that died on the cross of Calvary. But He wanted us to understand. You believe in God, believe also in me. Exercise that faith in me. And not only that, when I trust the Lord Jesus Christ, my personal Lord and Savior, dear friend, and I become part of His family, dear friend, the Bible says in Mark chapter number 9 that there is nothing impossible. Nothing impossible with God. So when I think about this verse, and I think about those dark hours, I think about the storms that ride into my life and ride into my church member's life and my family's life, into my loved one's life. These are the verses through those tough, difficult times that we can turn to and we can find comfort. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. And we can find that time that we can know for sure that I have believed on the right person. Who's the right person? He cleared it up, verse 6, didn't he? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let me tell you something, dear friend. Jesus will meet you where you are. But I also know this about Jesus, that faith in Christ will take you to where He is. Well, let's go back to John. Some of you didn't get that. Go back to John chapter 14. Jesus will meet us where we are. But when I put faith and trust in Christ, dear friend, that will take me to where He is. John chapter 14. Back in our text. Verse 3. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. How did that come about? Verse 1. Believe in God, believe also in me. So I don't understand, folks, that desire to be good. There's none good, no, not one, to present themselves worthy of salvation. There is no worthiness in ourselves alone. It is worthiness found in Christ Jesus alone. And when I exercise that faith, listen, choir, I thank you very much for dedicating your time and coming and singing. And I appreciate the soloists. I appreciate the quartets that come. And I appreciate all the music, the ushers. I love the fact that we have Sunday school teachers that are volunteer. I don't have to pay you, a salary to come teach Sunday school. You just volunteer your time to do that. But dear friend, I'm telling you, if you're trusting any of that to get you to where Jesus is, you're not going. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Sunday school teacher, but by choir directing, but by giving money to the church, but by keeping the nursery. No, but by me. Amen. It's Christ alone. That's where we find eternal life. Not in works of righteousness where I could boast in. Not in saying something that I am worthy because I am who I am. I am what I am because of the love of God and because of Christ Jesus who paid my sin debt. So there's comfort there. There's faith found in this chapter. But there's also a question. Look at verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way? Listen, Thomas, he liked what he had just heard. I don't know about you, dear friend, but you know, if somebody showed up at your place of work or your place of business and said, hey, listen, I'm developing a subdivision over here on the south side of Orlando, and inside that subdivision, because of who you are, because your name is Smith, because your name is Johnson, because your name is just because of who you are, I am going to build you a 5-story home inside that subdivision, and you'll never have to pay homeowner association fees in there. You won't have to pay the electric bill. I'm just going to do this because, listen, I own the development, and I'm going to develop this, but I'm going to build this house just for you. It would sound too good to be true, right? Thomas is liking what he hears, but it's sounding too good to be true. He's not quite understanding this here. He has a question. So, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. Now, how can we know the way? Dear friend, let me tell you something. When you have questions about the things of God, it is okay for you to turn to God and ask Him to clarify what He is saying to you. He desires to teach you. I do not understand why some of our church denominational heads feel like they have the answer to everybody's problem when the Bible is available to everyone. We are just as preachers and pastors and evangelists and men of God, we are just to teach the Word of God, but we do not have the corner market on the Bible. The Bible is for everyone. And it's okay if you don't have a question. Go to God and ask Him. It's okay to go to someone else and ask. Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. Philip was was preaching a great message. A great meeting was going on. The Spirit of God moved him and took him to the Ethiopian eunuch. And the Ethiopian eunuch was riding in the chariot and into his chariot and reading the Word of God. And Philip said, understand what you're reading. You know what the eunuch said? How can I unless someone else show me? Hey, if you've got questions, ask. Ask God. Seek the face of God. Find a solid, foundational Christian, somebody that's walking with the Lord 7 days a week. Listen, I'm to be honest with you. I'm not asking a car salesman anything about selling cars who's only sold one car in 6 months. He's starving to death. Why in the world would I ask a Christian who only comes to the house of God once every 6 months something about faithfulness? But many of you do that. You run right over to your buddy at work, run right over to your buddy at the ballpark, run right over to your friend at the coffee shop, and you say, I've got this spiritual question. I'd like to ask you something spiritual. But they don't even do spiritual things. You're going to get a contorted answer. First, go to the Word of God and seek the Word of God. The Holy Spirit of God. If you're saved, dear friend, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you and He'll give you an unction. He will teach you. Go to the Bible. If you don't get clarity, find somebody who's faithful, walking with God and loving the Lord 7 days a week. You say, preach, you're one of those preachers that believe you've got to be in church every day of the week, don't you? No, you can be in church every day of the week you want to. If you don't trust Christ, you'll leave here a lost sinner. Coming to church does not make you a child of God. Faith in Christ alone. But when I become a child of God, I become interested in the things of God. And so, ask those questions. Thomas said, listen, I like what I hear, but I need an answer. He wanted to know more about eternal life. And you know what? This is just amazing to me. Jesus did not change the subject. He did not start talking about fishing. He did not start talking about hunting. He did not start talking about the latest sitcom. He didn't bring up a Facebook post. When somebody comes to us, church, and they ask us something, be ready to give an answer of the hope which lies within us. That means study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes the answer is obviously going to cause friction. How many of you got that question? Somebody come and ask you something and you knew as soon as you give the biblical answer, it was going to hurt feelings. It was going to cause heartache. I've been there, done it. You got to speak in love. You got to speak in kindness, but you got to speak truth. He was fixing to denounce everything Thomas had grew up believing. He was fixing to tell Thomas everything about eternal life that he had learned in the past was not right. See, Thomas was a Jew, and he was raised in Judaism. And Jesus was fixing to have to give him the answer that your religion is not going to cut it. Sometimes, dear friend, you're going to have to speak truth. Speaking in love, speaking in kindness, speaking in grace. Let your speech be seasoned with grace. And he said, Jesus said to him, I am the way. Not a way. Some of you got friends that keep telling you, don't always lead to, we'll always lead to heaven. And you avoid the conflict. He said, I am the way. Some of you got loved ones, family member that believing in baptism is going to get them to heaven. I am the way. Some of you got friends that have been sprinkled as an infant, and they have been taught from an infant that they are a Christian, never having a personal relationship with Christ. I am the way, Jesus said. I know it's uncomfortable. I know the times when you have religious conversation. I heard just the other day, on ESPN radio, there was Rosella and Connell, they were talking and said, and Connell's always bringing up politics. And Rosella said, I always try to avoid politics and religion because they always get you in trouble. And that's where most of us as Christians have gotten. We avoid it. Jesus didn't avoid it. He didn't jump up and say, I'm the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he was very plain and very clear. No man cometh to the Father but by me. What comfort. What faith, a call of faith. There's a question, and there is an answer to the question. How many of you hate asking a question and never get the answer? Man, that kills me. That stupid ask. Oh, that's probably not a good thing for a pastor to say. That Aflac commercial, and they ask you a question at the in the middle of a baseball game or a football game, whichever one's on. Who did what? Aflac. And sometimes I walk out of the room and I don't come back and they've given the answer and it drives me crazy. I'm here to tell you, if somebody comes to you with a spiritual question, it may be uncomfortable, but they want and desire the answer. Don't give them an opinion. Give them Bible. Give them a scripture. Give them an address, a place that they can go and see it in black and white. He is the way. There is no other way. And I don't care what big name preacher says there is. or little name preacher. There's one way, and it's through Jesus. And our community needs Christ. They don't need another cathedral. They don't need another seminary. They need Christ Jesus lifted up, holy and righteous, just like He is, so He can draw all men to Him. What comfort? Preacher, that just doesn't sound comforting. Somebody comes to us and they say, I'd like to go to heaven. Well, come, our church will get you to heaven. That is not true. Our church can't get them to heaven. Our church can give them the information where they can make a decision that they can trust Christ. I know it sounds really cool to say, be part of our denomination, you go to heaven. And that's a lie. That is a lie. Our denomination cannot. When I study Scripture, it was Christ hanging on the cross of Calvary. Him alone. Amen. Dear friend, we have the we have comfort. You know what? It's comforting me to know that, Brother James, if I was to come to ask you that, you say, hey, I can't help you get to heaven, but I know Jesus and Jesus came. That's comforting. I don't want to talk to somebody that says, follow me, I'll get you there. You're like the blind lead the blind. I want to know the truth. That is why that's a text for tough times. Sicknesses and health problems and financial problems. And I'm going to tell you, dealing with somebody's eternal life, the afterlife, is a difficult time. And this is the Scripture that should help us and show us. With love and tenderness, Jesus is the way. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed, the pianist coming. Brother Jim's going to lead us in a song of invitation. Maybe this morning you've never trusted Christ, your personal Lord and Savior. Perhaps you're a moral person. Maybe you have sought out religion like Cornelius. He was a man that tithed and gave alms and prayed, but he never met Jesus. Maybe this morning if you come down to the altar, we'll take the Bible and show you how you know you can have eternal life. Maybe you just need to cling to let not your heart be troubled. Maybe this very moment you're going through a difficult